Let the Lord lead you, Jesus.
Oh, praise the Lord tonight. How many are thankful to be here? How many are thankful to be in the house of the Lord? You can be anywhere else, but there's no other place like being in the house of the Lord. I want to encourage you in this. Many times we may feel like our efforts aren't going as far as they should, but I'm going to let you know that we have done more in these few days than you realize. Because there's sometimes to our eyes we think, what did we really accomplish? More can be done in times of prayer and reaching and breaking through than you will ever understand. Your prayers go further than anything. They go further than time and space. Your prayers affect more than you realize. And I want to encourage you tonight, because you will see the fruit of what you have invested in. God's word will not return to him void. His word will not return to him void. His word will not return to him void. Every prayer, every time you have believed, every moment you have stretched out in faith, that has been part of his word to you, and not only to you, but to those you have been praying for and interceding for. And this is why we trust in the Lord and his word, and we believe. For God is faithful, amen? God is faithful, amen? Before we get in this word, let's lift up our hands and let's just begin to thank God. Let's begin to worship him. Let's begin to praise him. Let's open up our hearts and minds and spirits tonight and say, Lord Jesus, let your kingdom come through us. Lord Jesus, use us as your vessels. Lord Jesus, guide us into the place that you want us to be. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would strengthen every heart tonight. I pray you'd strengthen every mind. I pray that you would guide us. I pray that you would help us to understand that you are causing us to break out of the norm and out of the natural, and to break into your spirit and to break into places you want us to go. I pray that you would wreck our minds, God, that nothing would be the same anymore, that nothing would be normal, because your spirit is in us, your power is with us, and where you are, anything is possible. There is nothing that you cannot do. Change our minds, God, to believe you can do anything through us. Anything through us. Anything through us. Guide us as we hear your word, to hear your voice that is crying to the churches, crying in the spirit to the churches, to hear what you are saying. And help us to respond and believe and to allow you to do what you want in this last day and hour. We pray, God, let your word hit the mark that it needs to, and let our faith reach the place that it needs to, so you, God, can touch and do what you need to. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 1. God has been guiding us and leading us and equipping us over these last few days. He's been preparing us and challenging us individually and as a church, causing us to reach beyond ourselves, teaching us that in the place of intimacy and being with him in prayer, it will help us to grow and reach even further than our natural feet and our voice and hands can reach when we find that place in prayer. And tonight, God wants me to give you this understanding of just some things in Scripture. I'm going to read this to verse 10, and then you can be seated. Again, Acts chapter 3, verses 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. It's always in prayer. Being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily, say daily, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have," say, "I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God works through you. Lord, I pray tonight that you would guide us. Lord, I pray that through your Spirit, through the anointing of your word, that God, you would cause our minds to truly wake up to that which you have put inside of us. God, I pray that you would use every single soul that will make themselves available and that you would put your Spirit into, that you would allow the kingdom to manifest through their lives, God. Whether they're in school, whether they're at their job, whether they're in college, whether they're in the grocery store, whether they're in their front yard, let the kingdom of God manifest through them. Help us all to understand that the kingdom of God has come, and it's come through us to work in this world. I pray tonight, break every boundary, God, that we placed in our minds and put you in a box and move through us, God. Let your kingdom, God, come through us and operate through us in whatever way and situation you want. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you're seated and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. See, here's what I want you to understand. Starting at verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." This was normal. There was nothing amazing about this. Peter and John had probably went to the temple over and over and over and over. They had constantly been going to this temple. This is where they grew up in. This was nothing out of the normal. It was normal to them to go to the temple and pray. Amen? But then look at verse 2. It says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb." Lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily, say daily, at the gate of the temple. This man was 40 years old. He was lame from his mother's womb. The first day of his life, he was lamed and had this affliction and issue. And for year after year after year, his normal life was not going into the temple, but it was being laid outside of the temple. And it had become so normal for him to have this affliction that even being laid outside of the temple, he was not asking for prayer. He was not asking for someone to heal him. He had gotten to the place where all he wanted was a way to help him through life to just continue to keep his condition. All he wanted was someone to help him and give him money. That's all he was looking for. He had lost hope. Every day, this was his normalcy. I'm going to live with this issue. I'm going to allow it and carry it around year after year after year. And you know the crazy thing about it? They laid him in front of the temple, the very place where he should have been healed. And it had become normal to everyone. Even in the temple, it had become normal to see him outside. Everybody knew, oh, this is the guy that was lame from his mother's womb. Lord forbid that it's ever like that with the house of God. Lord forbid that it's ever that when people enter into the house, that God is not moving, that God is not operating, that God's not doing the things that he said he would do. It had become normal to them. It continues to say, at the gate which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. But then in verse 3, it says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Still normal. Nothing's different about this until verse 4. It said, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. You see, all it takes is a level of expectation in someone. All it takes is a moment when you step out of your normal day and you look at a situation that has seemed normal for so many years and you look through it through a different set of eyes and say, look on us. You see, he looked at him and he knew he needed something. He knew that he desired something and he knew that he wanted something. But because of his condition, all he wanted was alms. But yet he still wanted something. And I want you to see this. Verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. But such as I have, give I thee. Many of us have been places and we've seen people on the side asking for money. Sometimes we've given them a dollar or two or whatever we have. And then sometimes we've had nothing to give them. Has it ever triggered in our hearts, maybe God wants us to give them something other than money? He said, but such as I have, give I thee. What did Peter have that no one else had? What did he have in that moment? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power. Say power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 2 verses 1 through 4 says this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. Listen to verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What did Peter have? He did not have silver. He did not have gold. But he had something more precious than that, that man needed. And even in John chapter 3 verses 3 through 7, Jesus answers and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus says again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water, say water, and of the Spirit, say Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He can't enter or see. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. You see, they had functioned so long in the things of the flesh. And in one sense, Peter was trying to tell that man, I don't have anything fleshly or carnal to give you. You see, I would have given you something like that, but I'm born into a new kingdom now. And I know that you need much more than just silver and gold. Jesus told them, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You see, Peter began to understand what he had received in Acts 1:8 and Acts 2:38. He understood the power that was given to him. And this is even why in Acts 2:38, he stands up and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power. You shall receive something better than silver and gold. You shall receive power from on high. And he said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. All throughout this time, we have seen a theme: when there is unity, when there is prayer, when there is believing the Lord, when there is reaching out in faith, these signs follow them. Miracles and signs and wonders. When the fear of the Lord was in the place, if we want to see God manifest like he's never done before, then we've got to get in alignment and say, Lord, you've given us power. You've given us your word. You've given us authority. And now time is for us to go out and prove that you are truly God. I want you to listen to this. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, Jesus had commanded his disciples to go out two by two. And he said, and as ye go, that means as you're going through your way, as you're going through the day, as you're going from here and there, preach, saying this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everywhere we go, we should be preaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he told them what to do. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. It was a command to us. We've received the power. We've received the authority. We've received everything we need, and we received our marching orders that as we go, we need to do these things. Listen to this. Freely ye have received. You didn't have to pay for this. As Pastor Dan was telling us, that blood paid for this. It was that precious blood of Jesus. The blood that was received in the heavenly sanctuary, that blood paid for us to have power to go and be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He is the one who said, I will die that you and I could live. He is the one that said, I will give you power. I will do this for you, but you have got to do what I ask you to. If you love me, obey my commandments. You see, freely we've received this salvation. Freely we have received this blood. Freely we have received it. He gave it that we might have life. And he says, freely give. You see, this is the point where we stop. Freely, yes, we have received. Yes, Lord, thank you for my healing. Yes, Lord, thank you for the salvation you've given me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for baptizing me in your name. Thank you for washing me and giving me the Spirit of the living God by the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Thank you for allowing me access into your kingdom. Thank you. But he said, freely as you have received, freely give.
freely give. And this is where many of us stop. We stop because of fear. We stop because of all kinds of things. Here's the thing we've got to understand. When you begin to walk with God, after that salvation has hit you, after that power is given to you, you're supposed to do something with it. And this may be a little bit hard to receive at times. But we will be judged before God for the power that He has invested into us. This is why He gives us the story of the talents. He invested into one. He invested into another. And invested into a third. And the two actually put faith and chance into what the master invested in them. But the third one put his talent into the earth, into the flesh, into that which is cursed, and did nothing with it. He never gave. He received freely, but he never gave. God is not worried about the outcome of the production. That's his thing. He's worried about, are you investing? Are you giving what I have given into you? Are you allowing it to flow? Are you pushing fear back, saying, God, use me today? If you want me to pray for someone, I'll pray. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. And it's not easy. I do not stand here as someone who has it all together. It is a process that we walk through. But I'm telling you, if we truly want to see God move, if we want to see Him prove Himself strong, we're going to have to be put in situations where He has to prove Himself strong. Peter and John had to step out of their normalcy. I'm sure many people walked by and were seeing the situation. I wish I could do something for him. But it was only the ones who had believed. It was only the ones who prior had allowed that spirit to fill their lives, who had given access to God, and God had given access to his kingdom. It was those who chose to follow Jesus and be filled with his spirit and walk in newness of life, that in that moment, the spirit rose up in him and he said, look upon us. And as he looked at that situation, he was not operating in himself. He was operating in that power that was given to him from on high. It's all in Jesus. Because when we go back to Acts chapter 3, verse 6, he continues to say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see, in saying that, you're putting all your reputation off to the side. You're not going to doubt that if I speak this word of faith, that I know my God said and told us to heal, to cast out devils, to cleanse the lepers. If I speak this word, according to his word, he's got to answer, because he was doing what the Spirit was causing him to do. He had crossed that situation many times, but there will be times when you have gone through the motions and you've done things or you went here and there, but something will begin to stir in that spirit God gave you to say, no, today is the day that this situation right here changes. Today is the day I feel it that, Lord, you want to prove yourself to this person. And Lord, if you want to use me, thy kingdom come, thy will be done through this earthen vessel as it is in heaven. But it's going to cause us to let go of control. You're going to be fearful at times. I remember going to a service and I was down in Delaware and we were praying and the place was filled with faith. And I called everyone to come and we were going to pray together in the name of Jesus. And this lady came up and she had pain through her legs. It took two people to carry her up and she was shuffling like this. And she was so weak they put a chair behind her. And she's like, I've had this issue for a long time, and I'm believing God will heal me. And you see, in the moment, you could say, senior pastor, could you come and pray for this young lady? But what happens is you've got to put your own pride, your own insecurities, your own... It's not you who does the work. But many of us have gotten so wrapped in our mind, what if it doesn't work? That's not your problem. You've got to believe in faith. Am I telling you to be simple-minded and run in a hospital and touch every person? No. I'm telling you to be led of the Spirit. I'm telling you to give God your life. And when God puts you in a situation, believe He will come through. I told her to raise her hands, and simply in faith, I laid my hands upon her and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, be ye healed. And she fell back and she looked at me and said, it is done. I said, what is done? She said, I'm healed, and I couldn't hear out of this ear, and now it's open. It's not us who heals. It is Jesus who heals. It is Jesus who delivers. And He wants to work through anyone who will make themselves available and enter into that kingdom. Because they preach the kingdom of God has come unto us. You can't have the power except you're in the kingdom. Jesus told Nicodemus, except you're born of the water and spirit, you can't see the kingdom or enter in. In order for the kingdom to flow through you, you've got to be connected to the kingdom. This is why I said before in John 15, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the vine or the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't allow the kingdom to flow through us except we abide in prayer. We abide in the word. We stay in alignment. We trust the Lord. And as we do, we fear Him. And when we fear Him, the angels come around and protect. And then God's Spirit begins to manifest, because He can trust the vessel, because it's submitted, it's yielded, and obedient. And this is where God wants to take us. But we have got to believe by faith that God can do it through me. I want you to lift your hands right now. And I want you to lay your hand on your head. And I want you to ask God to forgive you for doubting and for not doing what He has asked you to do. I want you to ask God to forgive you if there's been any moments where you've been leading me, where you've been leading us, and we have not submitted to your will. We've not opened our mouths. We've not prayed for a coworker or a friend or a stranger. When we know you were stirring our spirit, when we know you were drawing us to a place where they would see your glory and we would see your glory. God, I pray right now. I pray, break it, God. Break the limitations we put on ourselves and we put on situations and we put on you. Break it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Break it. You've got to break it. There are people waiting. There are healings that need to be had that will begin to win families, and those families will begin to win communities because of one instance where we allow the power of God to work through us, to manifest through us, as we put down our pride, we put down our insecurities, and we said, God, use us. Use us. You see, verse 7, it says this, and He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. You see, it wasn't good enough that He just said, rise up and walk. He said, now I will stretch out my hand and I will connect with the situation. Do you notice before yesterday what I was telling you about the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus and the two blind men? Do you notice for the healing of the blind man, He stretched out and touched. For the healing of Jairus' daughter, He took her and raised her up. And even with the woman with the issue of blood, she reached out and there was still a connection of some point. The Lord's given us power, but it's going to take you and I to reach out our hands and believe God will do what He said. We've got to put our faith with the work that says God has already done it. Rise and walk. See, here's what you got to remember. The same Peter who is reaching his hand out to this man is the same one who walked upon water. And even in the middle of his doubting, he cried out to Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and lifted him up. In this moment, Peter spoke the words and he's looking down. And I'm sure there's something that may have clicked in his head. He saved me. Why would he not save this one? And it's got to be into us. When God asks you to heal or pray or go over someone, he heals. But when he asks you to lay hands on, you've got to remember, he healed me. He saved me. They are just as beautiful in his sight. If he did it for me, he'll do it for them. Freely you've received. We've received it. Now give 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 it. It is better to give than to receive. That doesn't just mean money. It's better to give your life. It's better to give your heart. It's better to give everything just like Jesus. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but not I, but Christ that lives within me. He's inside. But the life I live in the flesh, outside. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is littered all within the Word. Freely you've received, give. You've got to die just like he died. You see, the hardest thing for many of us will to get past is when you see a situation that may not be what you want. And God wants you to do what he wants in that situation. We crucified Jonah many times. But the very people he sent him to preach the word, to get them to repentance, was the very people that would totally annihilate their people and massacre them in filthy, wicked ways. But will you believe God when he asks you to do something outside of your comfort zone? Because I'm telling you, the time is coming. You listen to this preacher. The time is coming where you will be put in situations where God will test if the power is flowing through you to reach people. And you will know that it is God moving on your heart to reach in that situation. And here is the warning that I give you with that. If you do not respond, that same moment will be played back in front of you at judgment. Because it's not our lives. I am dead and my life is hid in Christ with God. It's not our life. Say, it's not my life. It's not my life. Lift your hands for a moment because this is a very delicate place. I want us to begin to truly repent and give our lives into God's hands. I want you to begin to say it from the depths of your heart because God will try you by it. But I want you to begin to call out because God is waiting to see if we will be men and women of our word. He's done everything that he said he would do. He's given the power. He's given the authority. He's given the calling. He's given his word. And now he's saying, will you give your life? Will you do what I've asked? Will you allow the kingdom of God to come through you? As it came through me. There's going to be times where you've got to release the word. And you've got to follow the action. After he released the word and followed the action, it said in verse 7, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood and walked and entered into the temple. The same one who for 40 years had this issue and was laid daily outside of the temple. The moment someone stepped out of the norm and say, let the kingdom of God come through me. His day of death ended and he himself was able to walk into the temple leaping and praising and worshiping God. That is what God is waiting for. Reach out. Believe. Pray. Let them see the power of God. Is that Joe, who used to be at the bar, who used to beat his wife, who we always thought would never... Why is he worshiping? Why is he crying? Why is he not cursing? Why is his family back together? Because just as that man was leaping and worshiping, all those in the temple gathered around in wonder and amazement. When we give ourselves to God, when we obey His Word, He does the miraculous. And He draws men into the situation where then you can open your mouth and declare who Jesus is. He's given you the authority. If you've been filled with the Spirit, raise your hand. Look at that. You see how much authority is in this room? You see how much power is in this room? And for those of you who didn't raise your hand, God is able to do it tonight. All it takes is you simply saying, Lord, I'm going to let go of control. And I want the kingdom of God to come in me. Peter said, repent. We've talked about repentance. It's not just saying, God, forgive me. It's you turning around. And it just doesn't mean in one position. It means all the things that were wrong in your life that you know you can change, you begin to change them. That's why John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Don't just say it in your heart. I forgive you. Show it in your actions. Break up with that boy or girl. Change your heart. Throw away the cigarettes. Throw away the alcohol. Cut off the addictions. Begin to say, God, in whatever it takes, I want you. I want you to see. I need you. This isn't a game. Heaven and earth will pass away. There is coming a day of judgment, but mercy and grace precede judgments. He is here, arms stretched out wide. I will fill you. I will strengthen you. But it's got to be your choice. You've got to be the one that says, yes, Lord, I'm giving you everything. I'm telling you right now, 40 years he sat there daily. It doesn't matter how long you've been seeking for the Holy Ghost. Believe it. Believe tonight is the night where God fills me. Tonight is the night where God changes my life. Tonight is the night where He takes control and I give up control. And I begin to follow Him with all of my heart. That's what you've got to believe. Because I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen at the end of the service. What's going to happen is you're going to have a moment where you can begin to step out in faith. And as you begin to step out, you're going to begin to feel that fear. It's going to begin to creep. What are they going to think about me? Well, what if I don't say the right words at the altar? Well, what if he doesn't fill me? Or what if this doesn't happen? Or what if that doesn't happen? Or what if all that is things to distract your mind off of what you're receiving. We know good and well, if someone pulled up with brand new vehicles out there and we'd be like, hey, that one's yours. You'd be like, which one? You could have food on the table. You're not worried about it. Your kid could be running towards the highway. Which one? That one's mine? Right there? Because you desire it. Tonight you got to desire, I want to be filled. Tonight you got to say, God, I want you to take control of this tongue, and I want you to fill my bosom with your love, with your mercy. I lay myself down and I give myself to you. Because when you believe, God responds. All those people saw what had happened in that place. And I want you to see this, because we've got to take our eyes off of men and put it back on the Lord. Verse 12 says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why are you so amazed at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As through our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. We couldn't be holy enough. We couldn't have enough power our own selves to fulfill what God wants to do in this place. And this is why he's telling them, it's not in us, but it is in him. And this is why, don't let anything distract you. It's not in you. It's not in how holy you are. It's not in how great you've been. It's all in Jesus. Everything's in Jesus. All power is in Jesus. He begins to tell them in verse 13, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son. What's his name? Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. We may have denied the Lord. You may have denied and say, God, you can't fill me. We may have denied and say, God, you're not able to heal through me. But we've got to get to a place where we repent and say, God, it's not about us. You may have messed up. But verse 15 says, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses. And his name, what's his name? Through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. It's all in his name, in faith in the name of Jesus. This is why we preach so much about the name of Jesus, about the blood of Jesus, about the resurrection of Jesus, because it's all in his name. It is all in his name. It continues, that made this man strong, whom ye see and know. They knew he had sat there for 40 years, or he had been alive for 40 years and sat there for a long time. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. When they believed in the name, when he called on the name, and when he stretched forth his hand, believing in the name, Jesus gave that man perfect soundness. You see, when you come up here and you reach your faith out and you don't hang your head down low and in terror and fear, not of the Holy One, you say, Jesus, Jesus, you're not believing. There's got to be something inside of you. Can you imagine sitting there being brought day after day after day after day after day after day? While everyone else is in the temple, you're sitting on the outside. And many of you have come in here service after service after service after service, seeing others filled or seeing others used. But because he still had expectation in his heart, even though he was 40 years old, there was still something inside that was alive that says maybe there will be a day. And when his faith collided with the moment where someone stepped out and called the name of Jesus over the situation, 40 years of waiting, he got everything he had dreamed for. And that's why he was walking and leaping and praising God. And I tell you, oh, if you will but come with expectation, he will meet you. But you've got to step out in faith and call on his name. Peter said, look on us. That man had to look up. And when you look up to Jesus, you've got to look up with expectation that you will do what you said you will do. This is why they say lift your head high. Because you're waiting. You're waiting. When you're waiting for a ride to pick you up, you're outside looking left and you're looking right. When there's something important to get to, you're looking at your watch. You're like, where are they? When are they coming? You hear a car. Is that them? There is an expectation. Don't let anything distract you, but you look on him and you say, Lord, I'm ready to receive now. I'm ready to receive now. Whatever you want to give me now, I know it's going to be from the Spirit, not from the flesh. You're not going to give me silver and gold, but you're going to give me something from the kingdom. I'm ready for something from the kingdom. Listen to this. He says, and now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted. Don't let this night go by without you repenting and being converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things. And this is the time we are in. He is restoring all things unto himself. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. This day he has given grace and mercy, giving us time to come to him. But we've got to come. He's giving us the time. Do not delay. Do not wait. But come. But come. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things. Say all things. Whatsoever he saith unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul, say every soul, which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Jesus is that prophet. And every word we hear, we have to obey. He's giving us time. But he is telling us, there will come a time where I will cause you to have no more time. Because it's given to every man wants to die and then the judgment. Don't think that you're too young that you'll live forever. Because no man knows the day or the hour when his life is required of him. I can vividly remember multiple times when I was playing around with the Lord, and I thought it was my last night. And as I sat there, I could remember things flashing through my mind, prayers and sermons, and saying, this is no one's fault but my own. Many times you reached out to me, Lord,
Many times I could feel the prayers of others. Many times I was headed to craziness and something would cause my mind to slip to you. That is the prayers. That is the mercy and the grace of God saying, I am reaching for you because I love you and I've given all for you and I do not want to see you fail. Verse 24 says, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning you away, every one from his iniquities. Amen. You see, in that verse in Matthew 10, verse 7 and 9, after he told them all those things, go and preach the gospel. The kingdom of God has come unto you. Cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. In verse 9, he says this, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. You see, he wanted his disciples to understand this. I'm sending you out, and all you need is my name. That's all you need. You don't need gold. You don't need silver. You don't need brass. You don't need any of your fleshly things. All you need is faith in my name. And this is why Peter could easily say, silver and gold have I none. I know what Jesus told us to do before. I don't have any silver and gold. But he gave me authority. And the adversary is under our feet. And there is no devil, there is no sickness, there is no issue, there is no trial that our God cannot answer. And I'm telling you tonight, in the fear of the Lord, that there is nothing, if you've been seeking, God can do it. God can fill you with his spirit. If you want God to use your life and manifest his glory, God can do it. There's nothing that's impossible for God. The kingdom of God has come through you. But we have got to let it. It perplexed me for years and would disturb my heart. I would weep for night after night after I was saved. I would walk into just a TGI Friday and look over to the bar section and weep. Because I knew the loneliness and the pain and people trying to drink their problems away. And it brought such a heaviness over me because I knew that there was only one thing that could solve their problems. It was the one thing that I had found. And this is why I tell you today, freely you have received. Now give it away. When you give it away, he'll put more in you. That's when boldness comes. More and more when the disciples were beaten and in prison and would go and preach in his name and heal in his name. More power came. More authority came. More territory came. But it came when they stepped out and said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. I want you to stand tonight. God has led us all the way to this place. And they were 1,000,000% correct when they said, there is no revival that will stop tonight. It continues every single day. Amen. This is just an intersection in time
where we all come together and connect with the Master to get more clarity and go further and go further and go further. And there will be others that come behind and preach and teach and declare and do things that will encourage the body. But we have got to step out and say, God, use us. We've got to step out and say, God, use us. If you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost and you want it, I want you to be brave and come forward. God will not force himself on anyone. I want everyone to close their eyes right now. If you want God to fill you with his Spirit, I want you to come forward. If you do not have it and you know it, don't be fearful. This is not a spectator thing, because no one's going to be spectating tonight. Everyone's going to be engaged in prayer. If you want it, I want you to come forward. Like I said, God will give you exactly what he will give, but there has got to be a willingness and an alignment. And when you hear the word, you've got to respond to the word. Even on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached the message, it said, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added unto them, because they heard the word and they responded to the word. We're not in a rush. If you want it, God said, ye shall receive it. He is the one who gives it. We will pray with you and lay hands on you in faith, knowing that God will meet you right where you are. And maybe you may have trepidation inside. If you want it, while everyone's eyes are closed, just slip your hand up. There's nothing here to prove to anyone. I also reach out while those think upon that. If you want God to take you to the next place so that his glory can flow through your life, if you want God to allow the kingdom of God to come through your life, I want you to come. Because God wants to use his people. But we've got to begin to step out and stop allowing fear to cripple us from receiving what God wants to give us. Father, I pray right now. God, I pray that you would loosen those, God. God, help those to understand who have any issue with receiving, God. I pray that you would loose them tonight, Lord. God, I pray that you would surround them with your Spirit. That, God, they would feel your presence, God, in any issues or any voices that have tried to cause them not to step out and believe your word. That, God, they would have freedom and liberty tonight, God, where they would step out in faith, and that, God, they would come ready to receive from you. And for those of you who have come, I want you to extend your hands high to the heavens. Extend your head high to the heavens. Because what I'm about to do is I'm going to pray a prayer of faith over you. But I'm not going to stop there. I felt to do this very strongly. Because I told you the kingdom of God comes through you. So after I pray a prayer of faith over you, I want you then to turn to someone and begin to lay hands on them and pray with them. And I want you to allow the kingdom of God to flow through you. because you who have been blood bought, who have the Spirit of God, have the same power to allow the Spirit to flow through your vessel to release what is needed for this moment. And you may even know a need. I pray that you would pray the prayer of faith over that person where it is appropriate. But as your hands are lifted high and your head is lifted high, I just want you right now to call on the name of Jesus. Begin to look to Him and get ready to receive from Him.